My dad died when I was 18, when I was at 60s. I was a coffin sprayer, but I could fill in any job. My dad died, which kind of impacted greatly on you, which it does when you're young. For baby dad's coffee, myself, fully lined it, very proud of that, lovely job. I fell out at sickies, which wasn't my fault, really. And then I went farming, really, went with Keeper Frank, Tidnet Farm goes with. Because my dad had died, and my mother said, you must do what you want, then.
And what were you doing down there?
Milking sheep, really, and a bit of arable weeds grow his own barley and stuff. So I learned how to plough, and we never had tractors so much right, like that, so I learned a lot, I suppose, in a way. Frank gave me my basis for more modern farming, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, we were brought up with milking stool, and imagine my mother had got a machine in it, badly.
How many were you milking at Frank's?
Generally between 45 and 55.
What, traditional cattle then? Would
yeah,
be?
Yeah, the lot of Ayrshire Cross. In a way, and this is not downplaying Frank at all. Frank carried on farming exactly as his father had.
Hmm.
And I think Frank's father was a very progressive farmer. You know, he was first man to have a tractor and first man to have a baler. But like, Frank kept everything the way his dad had made.
Yeah.
And he'd sell his calves, but if he'd got shits, or a gimpy leg or something, Frank would keep it. And if it were a bull, well, that'll do for the bull. So, a lot of cows left a bit to be desired. They were a bit all sorts.
Mm.
And Frank were very happy with 3 gallon. Well, I wasn't.
Mm.
When my mum and dad were up at Strines, my dad had bought his first Jersey cow, would come from Jersey, and he went and paid that up at Liverpool Dock. And they called her Merivale. And for 3 months after she calved, my mother used to have milk 3 times a day, and she gave 12 gallon a day.
12 gallon a day?
She gave 12 gallon a day.
A Jersey cow.
And that would be like in the 50s.
So that made you want to progress things a bit at Gorsworth?
Yes. Yeah. No, he was a very good boss. He was very good to me. We used to have farm sales. And I used to buy an odd and a two and bang them down, Mr. Barber. And he'd always stand by him. And we bred heifers off that and I started having AI. And anything good, we put Friesian on, or Friesian Holstein on. Holsteins were just coming in, but there's some good Friesians about.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum always used to chuck me a calf, well, she used to chuck our Christie for a calf every year. And if quite often a little Jersey heifer had come. And so we've got quite a few Jerseys. Well, these Jerseys made Frank look silly, so. Over time, we sort of bred up. And then, he'd always had Hereford bull, like foot beef bull. And I got him off Belgian blues, and then we sort of got on a roll, you know. First 5 Belgian blue straws we had 7 calves.
Oh, twins. Two lots of twins.
Mm-hmm. First lot, I keep Chelford. And they were decent, tidy calves. And hey, Roy Wall at that start him at £100 a piece, and he got them to £140. So I just said, take them home, thank you very much, have a job for them. Oh, I've got a minute, he said, fetch him back. I said, no, I'll take him home. Fetch him back, I've earned it 200, and they made 240. Very best calves then were making 300s. That was normally your Belgian blue bulls.
Yeah.
They were just hitting that 300 mark.
They were the special ones though,
yeah,
weren't they? Yes.
Yeah. But my twins, they were very good calves.
Yeah.
I know they were heifers, but they were good calves. But they were certainly not £240 models.
No, you knew what they were.
Value a calf then for £100.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be fair to Frank, I start looking after cars. And he'd gone from making 30 or 40 pounds doing his efforts to making 100, 110, 120. So he says, you better take your calves, Joe, with you. You were doing a better job with them than me. And you were good like that, you know. Let your bob out and sell calves. And some weeks he'd come and some weeks he wouldn't. Because calves, I got them right, you know. We didn't have scouring them. Because I mean, to be fair, when somebody's on their own and they've got everything to do, you can't just be doing everything.
No, no. You can't keep up with everything. Yeah.
So, extra pair of rounds, you see, calves could be mucked out every week. And not just all run together up for the things. I made some calf pens up and got jobs somewhat like, you see. Because calves were, it's time, it was a big lump of money.
Mm-hmm. Still is.
It is. Calf money was a good one for money. Well, from going from 30 to 40 pound a calf to 120 and 30, that extra 100 quid, especially if you do a 3 year week game, we had a lot of spring calves. And it starts rocking up to some paid wage, won't it, really? So it was worth letting me, if I went and sold them and stud, because we always stud with cows with a bit of luck, I could get £20 more than Frank. So he says, well, you may as well stand with them. He says, another 20 quid. It's all good, won't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But then when we get on them Belgian blues, well, he nearly had a heart attack, eh, Frank did, when we come back with his Belgian blue calf.
Did you have any go the calf in him then?
No.
You're fortunate, because some people did, didn't they?
No. Vets told us, we asked vet, we had a very good vet down at Charters from Middle. We used to tell you everything vet did. He talked you through why you was a trainee vet. Learned ever such a lot off that fellow, your granddad. And he'd come over something else. And Frank says, as I heard some of these cows with them Belgian blues, what this thing? He says, you know, I'm less trouble than what you can be now. He says, he's very short in the neck. And he says, he can't very easy. I think we only had that vet, all years we had Belgian blues. I think we only had that vet cow. But we got an easy cow, in what, Mr. Chuck's nice. Nice calves, and we bought just a batch of his scrolls, you know. Enough at last, is really. No, we never did have no trouble, but vet told us, and if you look at them, they are very short in neck. And he says he come out, it looked easier. And they always did for us.
So, what happened next then?
We plodded along at Gorters, well. But things built up quite nice, really. I suppose with two of us being there, we caught up. He'd have just been getting boss of Frank a bit. So, you know, we got all edge laying done, and all draining done, all fencing done, built stock up better, built seat numbers up. Because, I don't know, I suppose it's more hands really, isn't it? And just keep it boss at job, ground started carrying more stock, and we ended, because, I mean, the extra hands, like an arcrest, if we were keen on everything, he was a little tart. So we had a few pegs. So we could rear pegs, you see. And we had spring carvers, so we had always bought pegs in for adult beasting, so you could rear a great ruck of pegs for next to night, which, frankly, was very good. Let me have a shed, you see, so I kept pegs. We always had a few turkeys at Christmas, and he let us have a few hens bound.
So what happened then?
Yeah, well, Frank had bought Whiteshaw at the Slytherin Estates.
What made him buy that?
Because it was a council farm, didn't Nick at Gortsworth, it was a council farm, so we always knew.
He'd have to move at some
point. He'd have to move, because I went working for Frank when his mother was alive. Now, the tenancy was in his mum and dad's name. Well, his dad was already dead. And after I'd been working for him for, because I worked at the market and I worked I jobbed a bit than I did for several folk. I did Norman Barber a day a week, his brother. And his mother died. So he had to reapply. The farm didn't automatically turn to him. So he had to reapply for the tenancy, which he didn't want to give him of being a single man. So, strangely enough, we said that we was getting married, and so they gave him the tenancy. Because he had seen the farm improving, you see, because he come round every year, he had agents. He's come round every year, and he had seen the farm improving, so we had to go down Chester. It was a big formal affair. They all sat round a great big table, and it, ooh, a monstrous domed big hall and everything.
This is County Council?
Yeah, and he went in and heard every footstep, you know. Yeah, miles to walk, and there were six up that day, and the only Frank has got his tenancy. But he decided, because he said at 65 he'd have you, so he bought Swithenly Estate, was up, so he bought Whitehill with a dent on, which is Aid Smith. Anyway, Aid Smith died. So he asked me to move up to Whitehill, you see, which was virtually derelict. I don't know if you ever saw it. They were mocking chaps. They'd have to dig door holes out, but get cows out, they're lifting up roof tiles. By the way, some mock about.
And what a work do then?
Ah, there were a lot to do. There were a lot to do.
So did you move stock in?
No, there were no... We got the house ready first, really. We mocked all out. Because there were only garage, two bits of petticoats, two what you call loose boxes, as had been petticoats at one time, tying for seven, and tying for eight.
So you got time for 15 altogether?
Yeah, and then a few like petticoats, loose boxes, but the house was, I don't know how they lived in the house, really.
Well, he was on his own, wasn't he?
We moved in on Christmas Eve, and Dave Swinson called, and he was born up at Old Heater, and he said it was the first time he'd ever seen smoke go up that chimney, because he never lit fire. He had a single bar electric fire, and all windows were out on front, facing west.
What had he got over him to stop weather coming in?
Nothing.
It was open.
A lot of it, yeah. I think there were about four panes of glass left. Where the kitchen was. Mind you, that was a back room, so they'd shut the door. There were no windows in there at all. And he had this single bar electric fire. And he reckoned he only switched it on when he wanted to light his. As soon as it lit his fire, he knocked the bugger back on.
How old was he when he died?
Only in his 60s, I think. But you see, if you think back to when you were young, when folk were in the 60s, they were old, weren't they? And when they were in the 70s, they weren't far off it. Folk were worn out, weren't they? Absolutely worn out, were they? But I look back on what my mother's done.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm worn out now, and I'm 57. I'll think I'm worn out. I think I'm tired. My mother had got school children and still running a farm.
Yeah, she was amazing, wasn't she? So when did you move cows in?
Christmas Eve. We did water bowls and bought theffers up. And we did what Christmas Eve?
So did you have to put another shed up before you could start milking?
No, we didn't milk there for 2 years. No, we just kept young stock there.
So you were still milking at Gorsley?
Yeah, run back down Gorsley twice a day for milk. And we did shore up. We did the house up. And some at fencing. And then that winter we got rest at fencing done.
So this is early 1980s, isn't it?
30 years ago.
30 years ago, it was 87 then, isn't it?
87.
So milk quotas had come in then?
Yes, they'd just come in. Anyway, we put in Tip Peak Park to put some stuff up. they knocked us about, and then we found out we didn't need planning permission. The gun staff was putting 3 sheds up, so we put 2 sheds up, and then there come a big storm, and one of the big sheds it goes with blew in. So council didn't want to do it all. So they asked for them to leave. So then it was a big scurry to get another shed up with enough dyeing and milking facilities for the 1st of April.
From Christmas?
From November.
Till 1st of April?
Yes.
In winter?
In winter, and it was very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Week after frost, and we just couldn't build. We couldn't do concreting. We were having 4 a patch out, because it just buggers your concrete.
Mm.
Frost us. We were 4 in a patch out, mixing what we could, didn't they, and then sheeting it, and we just put boards up and stacked bloody, put a sheet over it and then put straw on top and stuff. It was a terrible job, terrible slow job. And we bought boarskins from a farm sale at Whiteley. We bought all these boarskins for £1 each. And then we moved all cows up from Gorsworth and Frank and all. It was a hectic week or two. I couldn't do it now, but you do it when you're young, don't you? I was still milking at 2 o'clock in the morning, but we sort of saw over it, and we hadn't got water coupled up. So I was watered up then, set in watering them up. And at 6:30 I started milking again. And we went like that for nearly a week. I waited the clock round, because when I'd finished milking it, we walked it down.
And did they see over it?
Saw over it, champion. I couldn't believe how well they did. And of course, we was a lot of spring carvers then. So they all set to do spicking carves. And we had an absolute month from hell, some road.
I suppose if they hadn't carved, though, it was the right time to move them anyway, wasn't it? Because you weren't knocking the production, were you?
Yeah.
So they just about settled.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they did all right then?
Yeah. Yeah, it all come good. Because they'd been used to buckets. So if it let them out and run them through, because they just bought it in then, as you couldn't, had they made it so you couldn't milk where your cows lived. So what I did, I've just got this passageway bit. I've got my boskins in, that enough time, but I've got this odd space, so I put half a power in. So for cows from going from being tied up and milk where they stood to being let out.
I suppose it was like an abreast parlour then, was
Yeah, that, just half an abreast parlour, so they all stand on one side. It's surprising about female. And they got as he enjoyed being let out. And being tied up all winter. But the watering was the biggest job. And by the time you filled bulk tank, we had to wait for the tanker to go, filled bulk tank with water. We were filling barrels all the time, you know, and it was easier to fill bulk tank than carting one. And
that would be spring supply, would it?
Yeah. But by the time you'd watered everything up, you'd only about 2 hours start putting water bowls in, if you know what I mean.
With your work life.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, if we hadn't got water up, we'd have water bowls in a lot quicker, but we still had water up. You do all this stuff, don't you?
Mm. Yeah.
And we'd aim blind.
So was this just you and Frank, or was Joe helping as well?
Well, everybody did a bit. Everybody did it, mopped in and gave it on. It's all hands to pump, isn't it?
It's like that, yeah. And did your family, some of your family members come and help?
No, not really, because just at that point, everybody's working. You hit a time in your life, like...
You're all flat out, aren't you?
Between your 30s and 40s, everybody's...
Flat out.
Flat out, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, my mum's always been brilliant.
Mm.
And when she knew you were flat out, she always just said, pies up.
It's all like that. You can't cook, can you? When you're working. You're working for your cows. You can't
absolutely
cook.
And I mean, my mother was still milking then as hell.
Mm.
So for it, sent pies up. And Joe's mum sent pies up. So we was always well fed, if nothing else. They were always been very good like that. Because when we first went to her, we were bloody penniless. Because we put all our house into it. And I wouldn't say we were penniless. We was less than penniless. And we lived on taters and eggs. The first 2 years we lived on taters and eggs. But like my mum and Joe's mum, they were very good. They always give you a good Sunday dinner. Joe's mum would do a Saturday dinner, my mum would do a Sunday. So you could always have meat.
Yeah.
And you know, you can have a million meals of taters and eggs and some milk.
What keeps you going, don't
you? You can do a million different meals. Mm. You don't have to have the same meal twice.
So you got things settled down, did you? And everything was going all right?
Grand. Yeah.
Then what happened?
Then what happened? Oh, we were doing good. We got on all home breads. Complete home breads then. Tickety-boo, really. Two pigs, few sheep, few sucklers, everything. Everything just bob on, really.
You said to me you didn't want to be a big farmer.
No, I never ever wanted to be a big farmer.
But you wanted to farm.
I always wanted to farm. My big farm was 45 cows. I never wanted more than 45 cows, really. But I always wanted a few sucklers, a few sheep, a few pigs. Rear my own young stock. A bit of, you know, beef as own. Just a bit of everything, and then everything's right for job. We got his own hens, his own ducks. Meat-wise, we were self-sufficient. Self-sufficient. We never bought no meat.
So did Farmers for Action come next then? There was obviously a downturn.
Well, what they did us all on carriage, didn't they? Milk board went. Milk marketing board went.
That was the start of things going wrong.
That was the start of things going wrong. Well, we stuck, rightly or wrongly, I thought we should all stick together. So we stuck with milk board. And most folk jumped ship for a penny. And then we all lost temper. And job went just down and we cut back. And you can only cut corners so far. We paired where we could, but I wasn't prepared for stock to suffer. I thought if we start punishing stock, we're not farmers anymore, we haven't run the road altogether. So I took a job, I went waking up at Red Ferns.
Abattoir.
I thought.
What were you doing initially up there?
I was in Lairage initially.
Moving stock about?
Yeah, just loading trucks, shooting box, and booting cows in, like, once killing had finished, we booting in and mucking out, and, you know, all sort of Lairage duties. Bloody calves were on call then, Thursdays and Fridays, they'd be between 200 and 300 calves coming. Our dick loads, trimming them really, and deeper folk are starving it well.
Mm.
There we were, killing stuff at Burnie.
That was at BSE, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what had caused that up there.
Yes.
It was a, your over 30 month scheme had come in,
yeah,
hadn't it?
Yeah, and they did a calf scheme.
Yeah.
Yes,
was it just Frisian bulls?
No, anything weekly, any calf. So anything weekly and sickly or...
And you got paid £90, didn't you?
Yeah.
I think it was £90.
Yeah.
It was criminal what was wasted, wasn't it?
It was all waste.
And the fat cattle that were wasted.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd see it all up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially all your native breeds, you see, as they couldn't get away in 30 months. All them native breeds, which is your best eating.
Mm. And it was all for nothing, wasn't it?
All for nothing. All for nothing.
So they were very busy?
Ooh, ah.
So when did Farmers for Action come in, then?
Well, Yeah, I was picketing. We used to.
So you were milking a tow?
I was getting up, milking a tow. I had to be at Red Fence for six. My cows were all milked and done. I was also worried a few calves for a guy at Tideswell. I had spare sheds, so I reared a few calves for somebody. Milk me cows, Red Ferns. I used to finish between 2 and 3 o'clock. Get back, get some jobs done, milk. Go out picketing most nights. Well, we used to go out 3 nights a week, demonstrating.
Where were you demonstrating at?
Tesco's, Muller, Hines, we did Hines 57 up the motorway.
And how many people were turning out?
Ooh, 150, 200.
Good turnout
from Wales.
And how long did this carry on?
About nearly 2 years, wasn't it?
That long? Mm. Do you think it did any good?
No.
So does foot and mouth come next then?
For us, no.
Foot and mouth was 2001, wasn't it?
2000, we decided to go with the cows.
For cows?
Yeah.
So did you let the cows go then?
In 2000, when we just started doing kennels up and this cow's calf to sold them.
So what made you make that decision?
Money. Money. I was working, putting a wage in. Jo was putting a wage in.
She was milk recording, wasn't she?
Yeah. And I was doing other odd jobs besides the boat to put money in, and we still lost £5,000.
Trying to milk cows.
So really, I'd not only given me milk away, I'd paid for it to go. So we had to apply to the Peak Park to convert the buildings to kennels, and they said I could only convert the buildings to kennels. They could only be 50% of my income. The farm had got to still be your main income. I said, well, I lost £5,000 last year, and 3 jobs went into that. I says, have I got to lose £5,000 on the kennels as well? He said, it sounds like you best do the best you can. It was a strange thing, I weren't prepared to lose the quota, because I bought the quota. We physically worked for that and bought. Frank had bought a bit of quota, but because he improved cows even more, well, he got such better breeds coming.
Yeah, buy quota.
I'd bought quota. And the council had kept quota with the farm, you see. I think Frank were allowed to bring a little tiny proportion of it, but the council kept the quota. Mm. So I'd actually bought the quota, so I weren't really prepared to lose that. So I was still paying for it a little bit. So we made the decision the council had to go.
I suppose at that time it had a value and you could lease it out, couldn't you?
Well, we sold it.
Right.
I managed to sell it a bit of profit, actually. We made a bit of profit on it, just as it was.
So you started getting the kennels going?
Yeah, we had to convert all the sheds. So working at Red Ferns and selling cows, and we were still doing a bit of picketing at the time. Not as much, because they weren't. It was sort of dying out a little bit, if you know what I mean. They bought them Welsh lads off. They give all them Welsh lads £5 a sheep, didn't they? Picket, get them off the picket line.
Mm-hmm.
And Welsh lads were backbone at picketing, to be fair.
So foot and mouth came, and you were up at Redfern's?
Yes, because we got kennels going. Well, till the kennels did well, I stopped on it at Redfern's, keep bringing a wage in, like. And foot and mouth come, so I lost my job. Red Ferns just shut down, because all animal movement stopped.
Right.
But then obviously, they called on Red Ferns and any slaughtermen in country that go out round farms, killing.
Doing the slaughtering.
Because there was livestock trapped up, because they just shut all animal movements. The bought in a welfare scheme so that people could, if you got sheep away from home and you know couldn't feed them or you couldn't get to them, they just bought a welfare scheme and so people could get rid of stock on welfare grounds. And they had to come through slaughterhouses, so all slaughterhouse staff that I wasn't qualified, but I was slaughterhouse staff, so I was called back into work at Redfern's. And because there was, I suppose I'd be one of the seniors really, because all experienced lads had gone. And we were down to like young boys and just an handful of us really. So they said you best have a slaughterman's licence because these lads are just a bit young really, you know. So we ended up killing on welfare, which was...
Another bad job, wasn't it?
A real bad job.
Because you saw some terrible things, didn't you?
Terrible bad things. Newborn, lambs born there and you got shoot up with newborn.
And that was just regulation that made you do that?
Regulation. Mm-hmm. Even vet, they vet up there, you were a good vet. Even vet said there's got to be another way. There's just got to be another way.
There were a lot of people milking it as well, weren't there?
Unfortunately, there always is.
Mm.
But the people as work hard and farm animals tend to be the people that reap the least out of it.
Mm.
People that abuse and roughhouse and deal and muck about always seem to have a better deal out of things.
Mm. Mm. What made you decide to pack up?
What made us decide to pack up? Tiredness more than anything.
I suppose your kennels were very demanding, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah, you're full on. It's 7 days a week.
And dealing with public.
If you're busy and you're trying to get a job done, they want to stop and talk to you for 2 hours. And starting and stopping a job starts to blow your head.
And you had got livestock, you were still doing your farming, weren't you?
And I think that's what got to much. Doing the kennels and the farm, I could see both things slipping away from me because I just couldn't physically
do it all.
Keep up with it.
So anyway, you decide pack up.
We pack up, I'd had enough.
So you continue farming?
Because we was up for auction, you've got to have a stop date. I mean, auctioneers say, oh no, keep taking bookings, but... You can't wreck somebody's holiday, can you?
No, no.
You know, so we had a cut-off day, so we stopped.
But what made you decide to sell the farm?
All my life, I've seen, and we took one on, farms where farmers have stopped too long, and they go downhill, and I think...
And downhill and downhill.
And it's a saddest sight, and yeah. I could see ours going downhill. And I'd put a lot into it to get it good. And it had gone back to what it was. And I didn't want it to see it go anywhere. Mm. It always was a two-generation farm. Because it was so run down. It always was a two-generation farm. So hopefully we've passed it on so somebody else can have it. You know. I didn't want to be the person that let it go to rack and ruin.
Mm.
And you've seen them and I've seen them. And so many do.
Oh, I think there's more and more getting, isn't there?
And there's just not the money in farming.
Or the labour.
Or the labour. The skills are dying out.
Yeah.
The skills are so dying out. And until they put some more money in farming, because I don't care what anybody says, college is a fantastic thing, but it doesn't learn you what farming is.
No.
You know when you walk in a shed, before you open the door, you know when there's something wrong. You can't put it in a book. You can't tell anybody about it. It's a feeling. But you've opened that door and you know when you've got a mess the other side of it. Don't you?
Mm.
And you also know the day you touch that door and you know everything's good. Is it a noise? Is it a smell? What is it?
It's instinct, isn't it?
It's there, but we all know it. You can loop, cast your eye across the field. And there can be 150 cows in it. You can't physically see it. There's a dead cow there. You can't see feet in the air But you know it's there. You can't describe the shape, you can't tell anybody about it, but you know it. You see an animal and you think, something wrong with you. I cannot put my finger on it.
Mm.
You can't read it in a book. You can't video it. You can't even explain it. You've got to be sort of bought to it somehow, haven't you? You've got to be amongst it to get everything.
Like this project's about how do we support farming and in South West Peak. The land's very tender, isn't it?
Land's going worse. Everywhere you look, the land's going worse. And it's because stock's going less.
In some instances, obviously.
There's a lot of stock going less.
But on some, they're upping the numbers a lot, aren't they? Some farms are getting more intensive and some are getting run down. So what do you see as the answers? How do we keep any of these traditional farms going?
It's got to be value.
Mm.
It's got to be value. My father, all my life from being a kid, don't get me wrong, I lost my dad when I was 18, but all my life, he always said, milk and beer were the same price. For 20 years, milk and beer were the same price. Now let's have a think, what sort of price are you getting for a pint of milk? Well, let's, you like go for the litre, because we're all metric, aren't we?
Mm.
So, happen on a good day, you happen to get 26, 28 pence. Mm. Happen on a bad day,
15.
You happen to get 15. Mm. Now then, let's go to the little pub somewhere and be buying it a pint of beer.
Anything from £3 to £4, isn't it?
Blimey O'Reilly!
For a pint, not a litre.
For a pint, not a litre.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I don't care what anybody says. Country's well off.